Hi, listeners. Producer Torin here with a quick note up top that the fifth anniversary of this podcast you're listening to, Oops, Your Culture Showing, is rapidly approaching in late March 2023, which we're very excited about. And to commemorate that, we're starting up a YouTube channel. Every Wednesday through late March, we are dropping two, maybe occasionally three, episodes of the pod to this point in the order they were released. They are on YouTube for you to enjoy if you haven't listened to them yet, or to re-enjoy if you have. The link to it's in the show notes. So after, or maybe even before, you hear this episode that you're about to listen to, you know, go start up the playlist of episodes there to hear every random Grammar Time segment thus far, or every I didn't mean to interrupt, or there's a cultural piece to this statement, and of course all of Dean's knowledge of global cultures in the order that all that arrived into this world over these last 5 years. And after that, you know, maybe tell a friend who hasn't listened to the pod about it while you're at it. We would very much appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy our episodes thus far up on YouTube, and also enjoy this episode starting right now.
When we're recording this, actually, we're here on Labor Day weekend in the United States, which is held in the first Monday in September. And for that reason, I've laid in a little bit of a sound effect of people mowing lawns here for us to make us feel like, at least in the United States, we'll understand that that is sort of a thing you do at this time of year, and it has to get done. So I thought I'd just do a little what they call in the audio biz, a bed underneath us of lawn mowing for a little bit. Now,
that's my soundtrack.
I see. And Dean Foster, what were you being then?
That's a barbecue.
Oh, that was a barbecue. Very nice. Okay. Okay.
I thought my TV was on the fritz.
because Labor Day is also celebrated by barbecues and people being outside and getting together. The last hurrah for the summer.
Right. Right. Yes.
The unofficial end of summer.
It is the unofficial end of summer. But many people believe it's the official one, but that doesn't happen for another few weeks. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, sure. It's sort of in the U.S., it's a time when those who go to summer resorts, beaches, whatever they happen to go to, usually that wraps up on this first weekend in September.
Right.
You know, and it's quite bizarre because most schools in the U.S. actually start well before Labor Day. There's only a handful that start.
Yeah, more. After that's Labor true. Day. More now than it ever was before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And people are going back to school in mid-August and even earlier. So it's very odd. There really doesn't seem to be any reason to have Labor Day. It never was from a cultural perspective.
Mm.
I mean, the U.S. actually.
Wait, hold on. There's a cultural piece to this. I'm shocked.
Trademarked.
Yep.
Because
TM.
Not yet, but it should be
patent pending.
And I think we should talk about this because
yes.
Oops,
your culture's showing.
And you're Tom Peterson.
I am, and you're Dean Foster.
And here's the cultural piece.
Oh.
Here's the cultural piece.
Here it is. Hold on. I get a drum roll? No? Okay.
The rest of the world, if they celebrate Labor Day, and many countries do, don't celebrate it now. The U.S. is the only country that celebrates Labor Day on this crazy day that the schools are actually open.
I'm wondering if we have any idea why that would be.
Most of the countries that celebrate Labor Day do so on May 1st.
Okay. Why would that be?
May 1st is the celebration of the Socialist Revolution, originally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not necessarily the Communist Revolution, but the Socialist Revolution.
Wait, hold on.
Which is tied politically to the workers' rights and workers' revolution.
Right, which is basically the idea of socialism in that sense.
Exactly.
Sure.
Socialism as a concept.
Right.
Not as it's been politically reinterpreted in America today.
Because as I'm going to say, you're telling me socialism and communism are not the same thing?
Very different, actually, yes.
Well, communism, a little offshoot of a version of socialism.
It was something unique to the Russian experiment. Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. And is not there.
So there is this tinge of red and pink to Labor Day. It's mm-hmm. been viewed, certainly, in the United States as something that we can't participate in if it's May 1st, because that lends credence to the workers' revolution and to socialism.
Huh.
So we had to find an alternate date in the U.S.
Right.
I actually do not know how they chose the first Monday
right.
in September.
You know, behind that.
I don't know
but
that
as
either.
As long as it wasn't the first Monday in May.
May Day?
Or May Day, the first day in May. Then I guess everything was okay.
Well, also yeah. May Day for many, many years, aside from that, May Day was celebrated for other reasons, just because of the beginning of spring and the warmer weather. And there was the Maypole that people right. would dance around with long streamers and things like that, mm-hmm. that people would do. So it was already kind of May Day in that sense came before the application of Labor Day to it?
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to find out why May 1st was chosen as the day of celebrating workers and workers' rights.
You know what,
and the
Dean?
Workers' struggle.
I can take a look.
Wait, Torrin's here.
Oh, Torrin's
hello.
Here.
Wait, hi.
Hi.
I didn't even
hi there.
See him over there
oh,
in the
here
corner.
Here I am. Oh. And I should also note
were
that...
Were you mowing the lawn? Is that
yeah. It was not, which is why we need the sound in the back. Thank
I see.
You for
okay.
your bed.
Yes.
Very but comfortable bed.
A.K.A. bed.
I should note, too, that this episode is coming out on Thanksgiving Day in the U.S. And so
right,
if folks are wondering,
right.
why are we talking about Labor Day? And we mentioned that's when we're recording this. But we thought we'd talk holidays because it is a
how about that?
Holiday in the U.S.
But
so.
You know, that,
and don't be jealous because it is still warm while we're recording. I know it may not be, depending on where you are, it may be nice and warm where you are.
Right.
But if you're in the New England where we are, it's going to be a little
at
cold
this moment.
December.
But this is getting very bizarre now. I mean, we're doing time travel.
It's very
time
meta.
We're asking
yeah.
our listeners to time travel themselves.
I don't know if they can do it.
I'm having trouble doing this. I mean, so it really
we
is.
Believe
like,
in you.
It's U.S. Labor Day. It's not May 1st Labor Day in elsewhere, right? Okay, all right.
Well, but it's not that day. But it could be that day because you don't have to actually listen to it when it's released. So you could be listening to it after the fact, which could be May 1st.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, now I'm really, really, really.
My brain.
But it's really around Thanksgiving time, we think.
Is that wordplay? No.
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 Is
no.
that... okay, never
no.
mind.
But here's another cultural thing that I'm observing.
I'm overloading on cultural things. Now.
Well, that's the whole purpose of the
oh,
podcast.
Never mind. I'm okay then.
I'm recalling many times when I have been abroad, that means from my country's perspective, away from the U.S., when I have been abroad on a U.S. holiday.
Uh-huh.
And like Thanksgiving... Thanksgiving, for some reason, I've spent many Thanksgivings elsewhere outside of the U.S. And it's a very strange experience.
Is it? How come?
Because, first of all, you get perspectives on yourself when you're outside of your first country. I mean, I never feel more, in some ways, not always, but in some ways, I never feel more U.S. American than I do when I'm outside of my country. For whatever reason, at any time, mm-hmm. because you're exposed, you're being who you are in a culture that is different, and so you really begin to get perspective on what that means, mm. and on what
yeah.
it means to be U.S. American,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Now, for me, that goes on to steroids when I'm abroad on a U.S. American holiday.
You're admitting to something then here.
Like, well, sure.
You're on the juice, is
right.
what you're telling us. Okay.
So, I mean, I can remember one time being in Bratislava, which is the capital of Slovakia.
Right.
On Thanksgiving. And this was many years ago, just after the change, after the Russians left, after the Soviets left,
mm-hmm.
and the country was struggling, as many Eastern European countries were at the time, to really figure out their new path.
Right.
They were freed from the Soviet yoke, but they didn't really know how to make themselves a whole functioning nation. And I was there doing training programs for these folks and learning more about their struggle than I think they were learning about how to deal with foreign cultures. But they needed to because they hadn't in such a long time.
Mm.
They were truly just opening up.
Right.
And so this was Thanksgiving Day which meant nothing to any of the folks there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
Did you have any other Americans along with you, or were you basically on your own?
No, I was basically on my own.
Okay.
There was a fellow with me who was Slovakian, who had spent some time in the U.S., but he understood that this was a U.S. holiday, but it didn't mean anything to him being Slovakian and being back home.
Sure.
And so I've had a great sense of being very far away and a great sense of loneliness, and didn't realize how much the holiday meant to me, not being able to celebrate it and not being with my family.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I remember rushing downtown, taking a tram downtown to a telephone kiosk, which was the only way I could make a phone call back home. There were no cell phone services between this country and the rest of the world at the time.
And you weren't jumping on Zoom.
And there was no Zoom. And there was no telephone connection from the hotel that I was staying in.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
And they couldn't make it for me. So you go to this you went to basically the telephone company's offices. And I went in and I said I needed to place a call to the U.S. And they told me to take a seat, and they'd call my name, and they took my name and number, and then 20 minutes later they called me and said, write down the phone number you want us to call. And I gave it to them, and then they said, take a seat, and I had to wait another 20 minutes. Well, you know, this was the Soviet system. And then about 45 minutes later, after I had arrived, they called me in and sent me to one of several different telephone booths that were lined up on the wall. And I went in, and this woman behind the desk says, I'm going to connect you now. And I'm waiting, and I'm hearing all sorts of clicks and sounds and things. And then suddenly I hear a phone ring, and my wife answers the phone. And she happened at the time to be in Washington, D.C. I knew the number to call there, and she was with her family. And I felt like I was calling from the moon.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And it was that I was so far away. And, you know, Thanksgiving is a day when U.S. Americans, like, you eat a lot, right? I mean, not only do you go through self-reflection of gratitude and family and friends
and football.
And football and all of the traditions that are associated with it, but the fundamental fact is that you're supposed to eat a lot. And I'm now in this country where people have nothing.
Right.
At that time, they had nothing. And in the hotel, they did have a dining room, but they had one menu, and it was what they had.
Right.
There was really no selections to choose from.
Sure.
And so I remember like the fifth night in a row, because I was there for about a week and a half. For the fifth night in a row, we had the same thing, which was very much pork and potatoes. And not too many greens.
Right.
But because I think it was because I was there and they saw me as an honored guest being a foreigner, they went through the trouble of trying to honor my holiday, and they brought out a huge bowl of oranges at the end of the meal.
Huh.
And we were sitting around. It was myself plus some of my colleagues and some of the people who I was there doing work with. And these oranges were treated with such respect.
Oh, yeah.
They were such a treat. They were fresh. They obviously are not grown in Slovakia.
Right.
They had to have been imported. How anybody managed to do that in this particular time and place was remarkable. And this was special. This was a hushed moment when the oranges came out.
That's really interesting. I may be off on this, but I believe that oranges actually hold a place in other holiday celebrations too, especially around, let's say, the Christmas holidays and those types of holidays in that time. I think because, again, of the rarity of having it in that time of year.
It's special, so
the specialness is the key.
Right.
Yeah. let me just ask you, you mentioned they had a recognition of the holiday. Did you mention it to them?
No, I'm assuming somebody did because these oranges came out and they were treated as gold.
I see. Yeah, okay.
By everybody. And then as soon as they landed on the table, they disappeared.
Gobbled right. up.
They just right. disappeared. It's like you couldn't get your orange fast enough.
Well, that was my other question was, well, how do you respond to that? If I was in that circumstance, do I reach over and grab my orange?
Absolutely.
Because, okay. All right.
Speaking of fair football, enough. It is. Piling in like
it was like an Italian sagra, which was another experience I had. I was in Italy on Christmas week,
uh-huh.
and there was this, and it was a beautiful little town, and in Tuscany, mm-hmm. and they were celebrating, and they had a sagra. The weather was warm. The sagra was a communal feast,
uh-huh.
and they put out tables in the square.
Okay,
and everybody volunteers to cook, mm-hmm. and they're all cooking fabulous Italian food.
Oh, sure.
And when the food actually comes out. I mean, the way you behave is you rush up to the table and take as much as you possibly can. And I'm waiting to, you know, get some sort of signal as to what to do. And my Italian colleague, Cynthia, leans over and she says, you better get up and get the food because it's not going
right.
to be there.
No. Go. Time is limited.
Munge. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of fun. That sounds really nice.
Yeah, being away on your country's holiday is a unique experience, and it's not always pleasant. I didn't expect to feel so lonely. I didn't expect to feel so far away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was a real learning experience, and nobody else shares it. You know,
right.
with you, it's like
right.
it's like the 4th of July in the U.S.
Right.
And guaranteed on the 4th of July, I always get phone calls and texts and emails from my British colleagues.
Absolutely.
Right.
And
it's just a regular
day. Don't they recognize 4th of July?
Well, yes, they do. They say, yes, it is the 4th of July.
Yes.
Yes.
It comes a date. Comes yes, between the 3rd and the 5th.
Yeah. That's yeah. right. And yesterday was the 3rd and tomorrow will be the 5th. But I do have to say, to be fair about it, I've had many British friends admit to me that, you know, they like to take the Mickey on the American for that because they know that it was a holiday in revolution against Britain.
Right.
So it does have a special place and they like to kind of remind you of that.
Right.
Mm, right. I see.
By virtue of not knowing why it's so special.
Right, right. Why aren't you texting back?
Which I think is quite cute. I think that's
sweet. That is fun. I appreciate that.
I like
yeah.
that.
It's interesting too, though, in the United States, especially, and we've talked many times on the United States' insular attitudes quite often to the world, and so not being necessarily aware of other Labor Days, like we're talking about,
right.
or other Independence Days, or other days of Thanksgiving. That are that because they do. Other countries have days of Thanksgiving that aren't when we have Thanksgiving.
The Canadians are just so
exactly
so marvelously restrained around this issue
mm-hmm.
because I think they have Thanksgiving Day around the same time of year, but not on the U.S. Thanksgiving Day. I mean, maybe
it's a
week
earlier,
or two earlier.
I believe.
Right.
I believe
is. In 2022, October 10th.
Yeah, much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, considerably
right.
earlier. Yeah. Okay. And is that a do you know if that's a fluctuating date like
don't
ours
know,
is?
But I can find out.
Okay.
But my point is that you know they'll understand that U.S. Americans just don't understand that I've been in Canada with U.S. Americans who find this out and they say, well, why don't you do Thanksgiving Day on Thanksgiving?
Right.
What kind of a statement is that?
Right. Well, it's a very much an American one, a U.S. one. Yes, very much a U.S. one.
And I should clarify, it's somewhat fluctuating. It's the second Monday in October. date changes, but it's always the second Monday in October.
Okay, so but ours is also that the Thursday. And Labor Day is the first Monday in September.
Which it was chosen just basically because it fell roughly halfway between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, that's why. They're like, oh, okay, we'll make it beginning of September.
There you go.
The Knights of Labor in 1884 adopted a resolution that the first Monday in September be considered Labor Day.
There we go.
Okay.
And because it was roughly halfway between. Okay.
Yep.
So there was there was no compelling reason. There's no.
This seems like a good time.
It seemed.
This is a good one.
Before it gets too cold. And
Yeah. Well, it was hopefully a pretty intelligent move. It was an open area that we weren't celebrating much of anything else.
Yeah, stick a and major holiday in there.
Later in the, especially in the cooler parts of the country, it's later in the summer. And it's, you know, we're coming toward the fall. So, sure.
Yeah. So many holidays around the world were tied to agricultural traditions or tied to religious traditions.
Sure.
Which are then tied to agricultural traditions.
Right.
So, if it's harvest time or if it's planting time, you know, and those things can move a day or two. It doesn't, or a week or two. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a particular date. What I find interesting also is that we tend to interpret the meaning of a holiday based on our understanding of the holiday. So if we don't really understand what Diwali in India, let's say, is, when we're told that Indians call this holiday the celebration of lights or the festival of lights.
Mm-hmm.
I know for some Jewish friends, they go, oh, it's like Hanukkah, right?
Sure, absolutely, which is basically the festival of lights.
Because right. That's what it is in the Jewish tradition.
Right.
But in India, it has nothing to do with Hanukkah.
Right.
But it is the festival of lights.
Right.
But when does it occur? Well, it occurs sometime around, usually in the fall, around Thanksgiving, often around the U.S. Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So then I've had U.S. Americans say, oh, so it's like the Indian Thanksgiving, right?
There you go.
Like, no.
Well, in a way it is. Yeah, I mean, it is that kind of a celebration.
There's thanks being given there's many times thanks are given for other things.
Right.
Giving.
Wordplay.
That's wordplay.
I think the moral of the story is that we really have to be very cautious when we're abroad in not interpreting the celebration of the holiday that we're experiencing locally as some sort of holiday like something we may have.
Right. Although I can see an innocence to it as well as the other aspects, only in the sense of trying to define it, you know, trying to figure it out for themselves. Although in that case, when you say it's the Indian Thanksgiving, you're defining it incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
Right.
Right, exactly.
That's never stopped us in the United States before.
No. And by the way, if you really want to have a fabulous time, be in India during Holi, H-O-L-I.
Oh, H-O-L-I,
and it has nothing
yes.
to do with H-O-L-Y.
Okay, yep.
Right. I think this may be a Sanskrit word, but it's a fun celebration. This is the time when you go out in the streets and don't wear good clothes.
Mm.
And this is usually, I think, in the spring, if I remember correctly.
Okay, I can take a look.
And this is when you go out in the street and what you're supposed to do is throw balloons full of colored water at people.
Okay.
That's fun.
And the kids do it. You know, the kids love it. And so you got all these different colored water and made with these fabulous spices, right?
Sure.
And you walk down the street and you get hit.
Right.
Hit with these balloons that burst.
Love it.
And well, you're soaking wet and you're color sprayed all over the, it's like a fabulous time.
Sure.
It's wonderful. And you don't have to worry about things because nobody does.
Yeah, right, that's right. Great.
The whole idea is.
And you're probably going to be fairly warm there. So you don't have to worry about it being too cold or anything like that.
Now, I will do exactly what I said you shouldn't do. And I'll say, it's like the Indian Purim.
Oh, okay.
And if anybody, if we have Jewish listeners here, you'll know what I mean.
it's going to be on March 8th in 2023.
Ah, March. Okay. Well, be in India during Holi.
Okay. Do you have why it varies? Does it? Do you have that information?
Is that maybe lunar?
It's
is it lunar?
Based on a lunar calendar.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of throwing things, and I'm going to plead really, really ignorant on this, but I know that I just saw the other day that a country who had to hold back on this has now come back to where they throw overripe tomatoes at each other, and they drive down the street in massive wagons of overripe tomatoes, which will splatter wonderfully.
I think this is in Spain.
I believe you're correct. Yes, and we can check
on
that.
But I think it's just a town. I think it's their...
It may be.
This is just their local thing.
Sure.
You know?
And I think they have so many tomatoes that they
obviously
grow that they can afford to do this, and it's like it's just happened again since the pandemic. It just happened again, I believe, for the first time, maybe a week or two ago.
So they haven't been able to do it in 2.5-3 years.
Right.
So now that they're. Yeah.
And there it is. Talk about not wearing your good clothes.
Yeah, right.
it's just they're smothered in it. And I don't know if it's just a celebration. It could be an agricultural celebration like you're talking about.
It's a festival.
It's a festival.
This is, I believe, from 4 days ago. Thousands of revelers hurled some 130 tons of overripe tomatoes at each other today in the eastern Spanish town of Bunol. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
How do you spell it?
B-U-N-O-L. At the Tomatina Festival, as the Tomatina Festival celebrated its 75th edition after a 2-year lapse due to the pandemic.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it.
I didn't know what was happening. Oh, nobody let me know.
The Tomatina is said to have originated from a spontaneous bust-up amongst the villagers in 1945.
So they were having some sort of argument and threw tomatoes at each other.
This is why we should do this every year.
Why not?
I think this is a great
solution. It turned into be kind of fun.
Yeah, I love
this is the way to solve problems. It really is.
It really is.
I mean, if you can't negotiate it, don't pick up a gun. You know,
right,
pick
you're
up
not
a tomato.
You just throw a tomato.
Hold
right
out that tomato.
Everyone's happy.
Oh,
and let's just have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Sounds good to me.
Lower the temperature and maybe we can sit down and talk the day after.
Absolutely. There's got to be some towns in the United States where that would be a very, very easy thing to do, you know, to get the tomatoes out and throw them around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, agricultural, the strawberry festivals, the walnut festivals. I don't think I want to be pummeled by walnuts, but
that could be
tough.
A little painful.
That could be hard. And I'm thinking now also of one time when I was in outside of the U.S. on Thanksgiving, and this time I was in Israel.
Okay.
And while there was an acknowledgement that, especially when people found out I was U.S. American, there was a knowledge of Thanksgiving.
Knowledge, more knowledge.
And the fact
there,
that I was
yeah
not there, we discussed that. And I was in Israel doing work. But I was there doing work because we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Israel. And
is there a Thanksgiving, though, in Israel at another time?
The holidays that are celebrated are usually... I think there's Independence Day and then there's all the depending on your religion, you celebrate different religious holidays.
Sure.
So
sure.
If you're Jewish, you celebrate a lot of Jewish holidays. If you're Muslim, you celebrate the Muslim holidays.
Of course.
Christian, etc. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where people do their celebrations.
And I would, and probably the Thanksgiving of any kind would go within that. But I'm just wondering if, because there are Thanksgiving holidays in several countries, and Canada being one that we were talking about in October. But I know that other countries do that. And I'll tell you, here's my depth of knowledge, only because I have a calendar on my phone that pops up with those things. And so I do see them. I know. That's it. That was my research right
okay
there. Kind of pathetic, but there you go.
There you go.
And
holidays of gratitude. I think it's a lovely idea.
Sure.
And I think it's nice that once a year we're reminded of that idea of the need for that or the benefits of that.
I would say it's very much telltale of the American culture, the U.S. culture, that we take a holiday supposedly, at least, designed, and I know there's been a lot of alterations of the realities of what really took place on the first Thanksgiving, but I think we're looking at that a little more carefully now. Nevertheless, we've taken it and co-opted it into a unbelievable numbers of football games, incredible amounts of stuffing our face, like you were talking about before, with food and drink, and probably not getting along with our family. We basically have turned it into that holiday. Also, and this...
Well, that's a lot to be grateful for, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to make a list of what I'm grateful for,
all of those things would be
right on the top. Right
at the top.
Right
especially at the top. That football thing.
And having to sit next to Uncle Louie and listen to him. I mean, I am so grateful for that.
Listening to him snore through something because he's had too much to eat.
Snore through his cranberry sauce.
Yes, which is good because he was talking way too much at dinner table. Yes. And but it's also turned into another really, really U.S.-based process, which is the beginning of the Christmas season of buying and shopping.
Oh, right? You mean that's it became commoditized?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Besides, we also do parades. We also love doing parades at Thanksgiving. How that all happened, no clue. But they're Philadelphia, New York, all around and throughout the country. Detroit, I know, has done them for many years. And
well, let me tell you. I have been a clown in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Well, not only in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I'll tell you that.
For several years running. And in fact, if you watch, now this year I'm not going to be a clown, but if you watch, if you can see videos, I can show you videos of me doing this.
Can you?
Yes, I can. Well, I'm getting all excited about this now.
Okay, wow.
See?
All right, I think it's time to end this thing.
and is there anything cultural about this other than the fact that I had been a clown and running down Central Park West in a clown outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Thanksgiving morning was wonderful. But the best part about this, if you're a clown in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is in New York City.
Yes, it is.
And broadcast nationally. What you have to do is you have to get there at about 4 a.m. And they put you in makeup and they put you in costume and then they send you up in a bus filled with other clowns to the...
Is it actually a very small car?
No, right. It is a large bus.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
To take you up to the beginning of the parade, which is up on Central Park West and 82nd Street or something like that. And there's absolutely nothing more surreal than being in a busload of clowns at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Going up to the starting point of this parade.
Yeah.
It was quite an experience.
I'm sure.
And I loved it. It was great. And I'm grateful for having done it.
Well, there I go to grateful again.
Yes, there I am.
See that?
Yeah. I'll put that at the top of my Thanksgiving Day list.
There you are. Wonderful. Wow. There's be a lot of members of your family that'll be very disappointed that your clown episode is at the top of your grateful.
Better than being with Uncle Louie?
Well,
you
there's
bet.
Louie. Yeah,
you
sure.
Bet.
We all understand Louie.
Stay asleep, Uncle Louie.
Yeah, don't. Don't
Dean,
wake him up.
Are there other times when you've been abroad during holidays that come to mind?
Any other holidays?
Been abroad on U.S. holidays and then been fortunate to have been abroad during their local holiday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I remember one time being in Shanghai during the Chinese New Year.
Oh, really?
And
that must be very cool.
It was extremely special because this goes back a number of years when it was a special year in terms of the animal. Not only was it the year of the pig, but it was because of the way the year fell out, and it had something to do with Chinese astrology. It was the year of the special pig, and I don't recall how that was designated. But so this became a really special celebration of the annual spring holiday, which is Chinese New Year's, the Lunar New Year in China, and walking through all of Shanghai, there were these huge lanterns of pigs. Happy, happy faced pigs.
Very pleasant pigs.
Cartoon pigs.
Yeah.
Wonderful cartoon
pigs. Enjoying themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Being celebrated because they were all going to be eaten. They were going to be eaten whether it was a holiday or not.
Right.
In Shanghai, they have a particular food. You can get it just about everywhere all year long. It's kind of a Shanghai noodle dish. A dumpling. I'm sorry, more of a dumpling than a noodle. And I remember this became the symbol of celebrating the holiday while I was there. And you could go anywhere, walk up to a stand, order this Chinese the Shanghai dumplings, and they come with a straw.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in a cup, and there's this big dumpling in a broth, and there's a straw that sticks in the dumpling. And you suck the broth through the dumpling.
Is this a larger than ordinary straw that we would assume would be an ordinary size straw?
Or no, I don't remember that.
Than an ordinary dumpling.
Okay.
No, it was and kind of like a regular size dumpling. If you were lucky, maybe you got two or three in your cup.
Okay.
But you stick it in the dumpling and you suck the broth up through the dumpling and through the straw.
Mm. Okay.
Which is sometimes easy, sometimes not.
Yeah,
And it becomes a little bit of a balancing act, the way, because you're eating this basically on the go. You're walking through the streets. It's a big celebration. And the folks that I was with were having difficulty with this, and it became quite a messy situation.
Sure.
With broth and dumplings, you know, flying about, and cartoon pig lanterns above us. I think we also had some drinks beforehand too. So
surprising.
A little more challenging.
Yeah. That heightened the entire experience.
You know what? It's kind of interesting that was about a special pig. In the sense that
it was the year of the pig, the year of the special pig.
Year of the special pig.
I see that the pig is the 12th animal in the zodiac sequence. Mm-hmm. And that's the last.
The last one, sure. Yeah. It's gonna reset again after mm-hmm. that.
Right.
And in that special pig, we're all kind of special pigs in the United States on Thanksgiving. See how I brought that back there?
So we think we are.
I kind of brought it all back to that.
And pretty much acting like a bunch of turkeys.
Well,
that's for sure.
Without a doubt. Although I don't know that that's special for Thanksgiving.
Pigs acting like turkeys, though. I'd like to see it.
Would you? Well, we could probably put that show together, actually. We're touring with that next year.
It's not wordplay. It's mixed metaphor.
Mixed metaphor.
Also, before you were doing some semantic satiation. You've mentioned this before, Dean.
Satiation.
Yes, where you say things so many times that they lose their meaning. That's what you were doing before.
Yes.
To wordplay.
Yes.
That's semantic satiation.
It's got to be up here.
Satiation. I don't know.
That needs work.
We'll find it.
Yeah. That needs a little work.
I don't know if I've lost the meaning of that or just am eager to forget it.
All of the above, I'd say.
I'm not sure where I stand there.
Well, look, I'm very thankful for this podcast.
As am I.
How about that?
As am I.
And
now we've been doing this now for
112 years.
A year, 2 years.
Oh no, much more than six months.
Way since 2018.
I was going to say, we've got 4 years in this sucker.
Wow, and we're very grateful to you, our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
For subscribing and for listening to this nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
tell others, please.
And letting us know when we're on track with you and when we're not.
And we make mistakes. Let us know. We'll ignore you, but let us know.
We make mistakes?
Reach out anytime.
But they think maybe, you know. So placate them. Come on, Dean.
And hopefully everyone has a lovely Thanksgiving today.
Absolutely. For those of you who are listening today, yes.
Or if you're listening next Labor Day, have a nice Labor Day.
Have a nice Labor Day. And
unless you're listening on Canadian Labor Day next year.
And then you can have that good Labor Day there, too.
And look forward to
Thanksgiving. Or if you happen to be in labor right now and are listening to our podcast as part of that, which you certainly could.
People listen to the podcast doing all sorts of different things.
Absolutely.
So. Sure.
I'd like to know what you folks are doing when you listen to
the podcast.
Let us know.
We would love for you to let us know. We'll let you know how to let us know.
Yeah, you'll hear how to reach out.
I think that'll work.
Why is this an activity that you like to listen to the podcast during?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to know that.
I maybe we'll hear from a pig who's impersonating a turkey.
Any pigs, reach out.
On Labor Day.
On Labor Day or in labor. All of the above.
You can see in the stats we have lots of pregnant pigs.
We do. We do. Yeah.
So reach out.
Well, Dean Foster.
And Tom Peterson.
Once again, it appears that,
oops,
your culture's showing. Smell ya.
Okay, listen. The way to get hold of us is oopsculturshow@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is oopsculturshow. Whether this is the first episode or the third episode or whatever episode that you've listened to, you should really subscribe. That's the best way to go, really, honestly.
I know what I'm talking about.
All right, so just subscribe through iTunes or through wherever you get your podcasts from. Subscribe. Thank you.